G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. I'm going to launch right into our new series right through May. It's called Activate. And I know that it's been a beautiful season. And I've certainly enjoyed this last season, March and April. And it's kind of been nice just to take life a little bit slower, not have to go crazy and rush around and do lots of things and almost have the excuse to take a bit of a Sabbath rest, you know. And I think sometimes there are these seasons in our world. Even though for some and for many people it's been very stressful and a tough time. Yet, it's time to be active spiritually. Even if we can't fully engage with our normal life, it's time to really make sure that on the inside we haven't died spiritually. And that's what this month is all about. It's sort of doing those early few steps of getting back on the road, of making sure that we're able to activate our spirit. And so the three themes that we see again and again and again in Scripture are faith, hope, and love. So many passages in the Bible speak of faith, hope, and love. And these three things, Paul says later on, is they're the greatest things. When we're filled with faith and hope and love, life works. Life is meant to be filled with faith, hope, and love. And so this month, we're going to be intentionally preaching on how to awaken those things. Maybe your faith levels died down a little bit. Maybe your love has died down a bit. Maybe you're sick of the people you're living with. Or maybe you want to get out and you can't. Or maybe the hope inside of you, something's squashed, your dreams. But these three things, I'm telling you, when we push those buttons, you and I will start to see faith, hope, and love arise. So can't wait. Stay tuned for this season. So the first thing I want to do is come into a passage in 2 Kings chapter 8, way back in the Old Testament, is a great story of faith, hope, and love. And I believe this is not just a good message, but this is a prophetic word for you today. I don't often get a strong prophetic word for church. I love teaching through the Scriptures and everything is applicable, but every now and then God highlights something and says, this is a word in season for your people right now. Speak that to them. And that's why I'm sort of super excited about this word, because there is there's a Holy Spirit anointing on this word for you today. Even if you're alone in your lounge room or somewhere, even if you're just with family or a few housemates, whatever context you're in, tune in for the next 30 minutes, because you will get something out of this that will activate something inside of you. So let me pray for that. Lord, as we gather around your word, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to each person right from your spirit, right from this word, and that this word would quicken to this spirit and fuel faith, hope, and love today in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dive right into this passage. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. It'll be on your screens as well, but feel free to take notes and grab your Bibles. Now, Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Arise and depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years." There's some amazing things going on. Let me just unpack the context here. Elisha is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. The Shunammite woman, she's called the Shunammite woman because she comes from a place called Shunam. Nothing especially significant about that. But here, this woman has had a son, and the context is really, really interesting. If I go back a few chapters in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, we describe this woman as a wealthy woman. And she realized that Elisha, the man of God, was passing her house often. And she said to her husband, she said, I reckon if we build him a room, that he'll stay with us and we'll look after him. And it's actually a great story of love. This idea of who you're showing kindness to. She was a woman of love. And she said, well, I could show kindness to this man of God who's coming through with his servant, and we could build him a little room and put a bed and a table. And it's a lovely story to read about how she showed kindness to him. And then a few years passed, and this kind of habit, every time Elisha comes past this woman's house, you know, he stays there for a bit, he gets fed, he gets a nice bed, gets looked after, and then he goes, you know what, I wonder what we can do for this woman. He's chatting to his accomplice, Gehazi, and in 2 Kings 4:14, he talks about this. What can we do for her? Gehazi answered, well, she has no son and her husband is old. He said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the doorway and he said, at this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. He prophesied that she's going to have a son about this time next year. Even though she's old, even though she seems quite content in life, Elisha speaks this long-distant hope into her heart. She says, no, surely that can't be, but it actually comes to pass, and she has this boy, this baby boy. But that's not all, because the son tragically dies. And we pick up this story again in 2 Kings 4:32. Elisha came to the house, and this son had died out in the fields, and he had been brought into the house where Elisha's bed was. And he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And when he went up and lay on the child came back to life. He opened his eyes. It's an amazing story. This woman who'd provided for Elisha, who had helped this miracle child. And then when this child died prematurely, brought him back to life. So there's a history here when it says the woman and the son. But now the situation is there's a famine in the land. That there's a 7-year drought coming, and Elisha warns this lady. She says, hey, there's a drought coming. It will be good for you to find somewhere else to live. And so she acknowledges his word and says, okay. And so she goes to somewhere else. Let's pick up the story in chapter 8, verse 2. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, when the woman returned from the land, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. You see, what's gone on here is the lady has lost her land. There's no mention of the husband at the moment. She says her household. So she's experienced miracles before. She's obediently obeyed God's word to say, look, disappear from this land because there's a drought coming. And she's, after 7 years, she's gone, it must be time to come back. But what happens when she comes back to her land? Someone else has taken over her land. It's not hers anymore. And she was a wealthy woman. It would have been a significant parcel of land. And so the only thing she can do is appeal to the king of the land, to see if they can kind of return and restore what was hers back in the past. Now why this is a word in season, it's not just about COVID-19 and some of the things that have been lost, although that is part of that. But there's way more. There's two areas of loss that we might find here today, just like this woman doing ordinary life and trying to cope with whatever circumstances are around her. One area of loss is this, is that people have lost things right now in our current climate. You might have lost your job, your work. You might have been scaled back in your hours, your businesses and dreams and houses and some of the things that you've worked for and longed for and are good things. Somehow you find that those things are now lost. It could even be relationships that you can't keep up with people, or just doing church normally, or the things that have changed, sometimes they feel like a loss, circumstantially. Maybe you've lost heart. Maybe it's just hard to keep going at times. It's like something's dried up emotionally on the inside. You used to be full of joy and full of passion, and full of life, and you would overflow and bubble, you know, like a little child. But now you find yourself a bit cynical, a bit hard on the inside, I've lost my passion. Maybe it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. Maybe it's just hard to smile. Sometimes life just takes these circumstances. It's like a famine inside, and it's hard to get up. And you feel like you want to reclaim that, but you're not sure how to do that. Maybe you've lost your connection to God. Maybe it's been months or years or decades. You remember those times when you used to come to church and be at the front worshiping. Maybe you're on the worship team. Maybe you're even a preacher or a speaker this morning, but you find that your life is gone. Maybe you had a great prayer life, or you used to love just getting into the Word of God, but now it's not so hot. It's a struggle, but you long for it deep inside, and maybe it's been 7 years. Maybe it's been longer. Maybe it's just been a month, but something inside of you just wants to find and reclaim that which was lost. Maybe it's family and friends. So somehow life has taken turns. Maybe your friends have moved on and gone to different places. And maybe your families or things have fallen apart in your world. You long to reclaim some of those things, but this famine, it seems like, will it ever end? How can I get back to the dreams and the things that are inside of me and the realities of my close family or close friends? And it seems also shut down. Maybe it's your financial world. Maybe things have gone south in this current climate. Maybe it's just the possibilities that have dried up. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're facing eviction from your house or your business premises. All these circumstances are famines, just like this lady experienced. They're situations that press in and they're real, and you can't just push them away. But there's other areas, not just of circumstances, but also of surrender. And this message is particularly for you. There are people that are watching this morning that you've given lots. You've surrendered lots. You've given away things like this woman in the Bible, this Shunammite woman who gave so much. She gave to this prophet so he would have a space in her house. She was generous. She surrendered her life. She gave things. And maybe you've given things, not just finances, but time and energy and relationships. Maybe you've given up things for the sake of the kingdom of God. But now you find it's still a drought. Where's that breakthrough coming? I've given so much. I've poured in so much, but it's still, nothing's changed. And this famine, when will these promised breakthroughs come in? That's what we're talking about this morning. So I want to finish the story, hit unpause on this story, but I want you to place yourself right there with that lady in front of the king, because something incredible happens right now. In verse 4, she says, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of God, saying, tell me the great things that Elisha has done. Now listen to this. I want you to see this. Here comes this lady who's lost everything. 7 year drought, somebody's taken her land. Her only recourse is to come and appeal to the king. But as she walks up to the king's throne, guess who's talking? The king himself is talking to Elisha's servant, Gehazi, saying, hey, Gehazi, tell me the great things that Elisha has done. And do you know what story? Now, Elisha, if you read all through the start of 2 Kings, Elisha does incredible things. He is like Jesus. He's almost a prefigure of Jesus in the Old Testament. Like, he raises people from the dead. He turns poisonous food into good food. He expands things. He calms the weather. He multiplies food. And when you read it, it looks just like the things that Jesus would do you know, 600 years later. So when Gehazi, the servant, starts talking about what Elisha's done, you start to think, hey, it's just like Jesus. And so here's the king talking to Elisha, Elisha's servant. And verse 5 says, while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, here is the woman. And here is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Can you see that? Here it is. It's not just a story. Here's the real person who's had the real miracle in her life walking up. But that's not all. Watch what happens to the rest of the story. And when the king, verse 6, asked the woman, you know, is this her? She said, yes. And so the king appointed an official for her, saying, restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the field, from the day that she left the land until now. She got everything back. Now, I want you to, if you're alone in your room, or if you're with somebody else, just to say, it's all coming back. Tap the person next to you. In fact, slap them. They're probably your friend or your family. And tell them, it's all coming back. If you're in a room on your own, just say out loud to God, it's all coming back. That's what happened to this lady. It's all coming back. Whether through circumstance and just life's seasons, whether it's through surrendering the things that you've certainly given up for God, I'm telling you, this morning, it's all coming back. It's a prophetic word for you today. Let me share a few thoughts on that. You might be sitting there going, oh, it's just a story. It's just, you know, a story from thousands of years ago, yes. But this Bible is living and active. I mean, the Holy Spirit gets on a verse and jumps in. You got to listen. And then you got to understand that this is consistent with the God of the Bible. Do you know the story? Do you remember Job, who lost everything? Do you remember how he lost so much? But right at the end, in Job 42:10, it says, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Do you remember the promise in Deuteronomy? When God lays out, this is how it should work in the new land. And in Deuteronomy 30 verse 1, it says, when all these things came upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you call them to mind among all that you have, the nations, and return to the Lord your God and your children and obey his voice, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples of the land. You see, even there, right at the start, God had this in mind that there was always a way to come back, that it's all coming back. Later on, Joel prophesies this in Joel 2:25. He says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, the great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who's dealt wondrously with you. You will never again be put to shame. It's all coming back. Do you know what happens here? It's simply to approach the king. Can you see the parallels? This lady comes before the king and begs and pleads. And while she's coming before the king, the witness comes and Jesus comes. Nothing has changed, friends, this morning. In a few moments, we're going to come before our king, the Lord of all, the universe. And do you know what Jesus has done? He's already done things in your life. And there's already a witness in heaven saying, look at all the amazing things that have gone on. And it's like when we come before the King, Jesus going, yes, yes, yes. That happened. And look after this person. It says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, like Gehazi the servant. He intercedes for us, telling the miracles of Jesus. I'm telling you, in a few moments, when we come before the King and ask for him to restore what's been lost, there's a witness in heaven going, yes, yes, this is the person, yes. And the same restoration can happen to you this morning. This is great news. This is going to kickstart and fuel our faith this morning. But I want to tell you personally, I've experienced this so many times. There's so many times for me personally where I've surrendered my life with Jesus. I remember when I came to faith in Christ, I said to him, take everything. You know, you're so much more worthy than I am. And he did. And I remember giving up things and sacrificing things and giving up dreams and hopes and surrendering possessions and cars and houses and money. And, you know, but it was all because I loved God. And you know what? It's all come back. I'm telling you, so much has gone on in my world where I look back and I think, how did I get to here when I've given so much away? It's because of this truth. It's all coming back. It's because when you and I kneel before the King, it's all coming back. Are you ready to ask the King this morning? Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.